Hey, everybody. Welcome to Season 3 of Fearless Women Podcast. Thanks for joining us weekly as we bring you inspiring true stories from around the world. I'm Janice McDonald, your host and global champion for women. For more great stories, pick up a copy of my beautiful best-selling book, Fearless, Girls with Dreams, Women with Vision. It's available everywhere. Big shout out to our listeners from all around the globe, including USA, UK, Australia, Mexico, hello, and so many more countries. Love, love, love having you join us. I'm thinking about you and I hope you're doing all right out there. Ooh, well, my next guest, she knows how to win. She's an inspiring coach that I wished I had had the chance to be coached by her in my earlier days, but well, I never played rugby, only watched it. I am talking about the remarkable and inspiring coach Jen Boyd. Her rugby career stretches over three decades, during which she has played club, provincial, and Canadian national level rugby. For the 2017 season, Coach Boyd was made a full-time coach with the University of Ottawa, making her the first full-time female rugby coach, head coach in Canada. No surprise they have the kind of winning seasons they've been having. Welcome to the show, Coach Jen Boyd.
So excited to be here. Thanks so much for having me. It's such an honor and privilege.
So real quick, how have you been managing, you and your team, through the pandemic?
Managing is exactly what we've been doing. There have been moments we've been thriving, and there have been some more challenging times. It's been a long 15 months, 16 months for these young women, but we're excited and hopeful for to be together soon and for things to go back to a new normal.
So I'd love to talk about the importance of sports and competing to win. We met when you were a coach at Ashbury College in Ottawa, Canada. The girls team then was unstoppable with you as the coach. And now you've brought that discipline to the University of Ottawa. Under you, the GGs are six-time defending conference champions and have earned five total medals at the U Sports Canadian National Championship. What's the secret to winning, and what's the importance of sports? Two big topics there for you, coach.
Well, I think sports for women in particular, you know, really obviously promotes health and wellness, working as a team. But for me, the lessons I've learned and those that I try to pass on is just women picking women up. It's something we don't often do. And I find in sport, you see it more frequently. And that's just what I really love. And I guess the other part was the importance of winning. We never focus on the results. We really don't. It's a process, just like everything else. But yeah, if you get the process right, you'll get the results that you need. And winning comes from having the right culture and a lot of different things that I'm sure we'll delve into today. Yeah.
Well, you're modest, but you have received so much recognition as an outstanding coach. You've won Canadian national championships and you've been recognized as coach of the year for at least 4 years. So many accolades, they go on and on and on. The team has captured three bronze medals, a silver medal, one gold medal at the national championship, and so much more. What does that recognition mean to you as an outstanding coach?
For me, it's the impact that I have on the athletes that I coach. That's what's important to me. If they feel the recognition is worthy, then it is. It really, I get up every morning to grow champions, to build champions. And that's all the recognition I need. The medals are great, you know, but it just means we have the process right.
Okay, so let's get into that process. We're talking about competition. Team dynamics are incredibly important. How do you build, you know, and create that magic? How do you bring out the best in a varied group of elite athletes, all competitive and in an exciting sport? What are some insights you can share with us, coach?
Yeah, you really have to create a space where people can be themselves and comfortable and high levels of trust. We talk a lot around compete with versus competing against one another. You know, how do we build each other up? And it's hard because people want to start, people want to play, people want to score. And sometimes that's not your job that week. Sometimes your job is in support. Maybe it's on the sidelines, maybe it's in the stands. And it's hard sometimes to cheer on a teammate who's playing ahead of you. But we try to create an environment where there's a lot of value in patience, a lot of value in taking the time to develop as young people, as athletes, and as well as young students. And you got to have really great leadership. You know, the combination of young women on and off the field is pivotal. And if you don't have the right leadership in those young women, you're going to struggle to find your feet as a program. You really will.
So what's some advice on having difficult conversations? Because as you've indicated, this idea of having to tell that competitive athlete, you've got a different role to play this week, that can be challenging. And what advice do you have that would be relevant for people listening in terms of how to frame those conversations or just have those conversations?
Yeah, I'm not great at those conversations. I've done a lot of work after getting feedback from the GGs on the areas I needed to improve. But I think what I've learned is most important in those difficult conversations is listening. Talking less and listening more and really understanding their side of things and where they're coming and really growing the empathy piece. And then you can provide true support. And that's when you start to see trust building and real personal development. You really have to listen more and, you know, I have not mastered the art, but you've got to ask really good questions and you can't be scared with the answers that you might get. You've got to practice, ask good questions and really listen. That's what I would say.
Deep listening, so incredibly important. And you're right. When you are listening, then you naturally are going to ask better questions because you're listening with care. So powerful, so relevant. So let's talk about, you know, you've got this secret sauce and it's a process that you've created to, you know, although you don't focus on the end result, your results speak for themselves. So what about the power of focus, about discipline? I'm thinking about coach when I did a session with your amazing women athletes and they were just so incredibly focused on discipline and talking about, and very ambitious in terms of having big personal goals outside of you know, the team goals, sort of their own fitness and the things that they were going for. So tell us more about that.
I think focus is easy when you've got your priorities set. You know, when you figure it out what's really important to you, and then when you've got that priority, I think the focus, like I said, is a little bit easier. And then it really helps you achieve the things that you set out to achieve. When I'm not interested in something, I really lack a lot of focus. I'm just not interested. But again, you've really got to know, from my experiences anyway, as a coach and as a teacher for so many years, is you've really, and sometimes they need the help. You know, they need to help the help to set those goals. They are quite young. But then I think it is a little bit easier. And I'm really lucky. I've got a remarkable group of young women who are extremely driven, extremely focused, who are real change agents. So, it's easy with the group that I have, to be honest.
So what would be applicable for people listening in terms of advice you might have or tips or, you know, some suggestions around how to actually set those goals or distill down, you know, how to set those priorities?
That's a really good question. Yeah, it's not about you as the coach, as the boss. It's not about you. It's about the people that you support. So you've got to set those goals and priorities as a group. The GGs drive everything that we do. And when I start to take over, they tell me, it's like, it's not about you. It's about us. And you need that constant. Again, we've taken a lot of time to build up those relationships. It wasn't like that when I started. But we're at a point now where it is really GG driven. And that to me is the true definition of being a leader. It's empowering others to lead. So we have a space where people can be very honest about what they want and what they need. And again, it creates a real magic.
I love that. And you talked about making space for people to be themselves and bringing their full selves to the team and to the field. And that's incredibly important. What else can you tell us about women athletes in your experience? You've worked, you know, decades and you've been on teams, coaching teams. Any misconceptions out there about women athletes and women who play rugby?
Oh, there's probably a lot of misconceptions, but I'm just surrounded by women in sport. Women in sport can do everything. I mean, look at the WNBA, look at what they manage. You're able to manage so many relationships. You're able to manage your time, your commitments, because so many women can't play professionally or have to have another job, at least if they're playing professionally. And there's so many things to manage, and you have to be so good at so many things to get your training, to be, obviously a lot of these women are mothers in the WNBA, for example. And they're remarkably resilient and tough. To play at the level that the GGs play in Canada is really high level. And you look at some of these professional athletes and what they've had to overcome as women to get where they needed to get and all the challenges that come with being a woman in sport. I don't know how else to better build resilience and a growth mindset and that drive. And every place they go after they retire, when they're done sport, they'll make a better place. They really will. I've seen it. To see what the alumni are doing. It really is remarkable. They're really changing the world.
So what's something you wish you knew earlier in your career, in your life, or even just as a coach?
The power of empathetic listening.
Say more.
Really listening to understand. I didn't do that till probably my 40s because I thought it was about me. And leadership, mentorship, coaching, teaching it's not about you. It's about everyone else. And that has been my greatest learning. And the GGs have taught me that. And we've had conversations around empathetic listening, and it's really helped our relationships and our growth as a team. I wish I knew that sooner. I wish someone would have told me to listen more.
You weren't listening though.
I mean, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, not as well as I could have been, Janice, not as well as I could have been.
Yeah, I was just being playful. Take us back, coach, to a time that you would define yourself as fearless.
I am fearless. It's not a word that that's been used to describe me, or at least not to my face. And a lot of things have been used to describe me behind my back, I'm sure. But I just always remember taking space in any space that I was in. I've never been able to sit quietly. I don't know if that's the definition of fearless, but like when something stirs me, I need to speak up. I've been like that since I was just a little kid, and maybe it's the environment I grew up in with two older brothers, you know, constantly having to prove myself, constantly chasing, constantly wanting to be included. And it really helped with my drive and my ambition and my focus. And, you know, it's something I always say to the girls, like when you walk into a space, you have to fill it. And I to some degree that you have to have a level of fearlessness, because again, women are supposed to behave a certain way. And I certainly don't follow those rules. And I hope that none of the girls I've ever had contact with and helped develop have those same expectations of themselves as society does.
So what about winning and losing together with grace? You know, it's easy to win in a sense, you know, but what about the losing piece and you know, the dichotomy of the two?
Yeah, there's such extremes. In my career with U Ottawa, I can count on two hands the number of losses we've had. And it's we win and lose the same way. It's you really got to conduct yourself with class and grace. I like that word that you use. It's hard, and it's just always understanding that when you win, someone's lost, right? Someone feels pretty terribly. And I do think you have to consider that. I think that's the piece of women picking women up in sport. And it takes practice. Like everything else, to be good at winning, to be a good winner, and I'm not sure there's such a thing as a good loser, but losing with grace, you have to practice it. If you don't lose a lot, you know, if you win a lot of games, but every opportunity, it's an opportunity to grow, right? Like every time there's been a heavy loss for us, we've learned a lot from it. So it takes practice. It's easier to win for sure, but it's just as important to lose with grace.
And it's hard to lose though. In sport, it is hard to lose. So how do you kind of build that team back up and, you know, move forward and get ready for next especially as the coach, you know, what's sort of the approaches? Because I think it's so practical when we think in terms of resilience and building resilience. And you talked about how challenging it's been for the team through the pandemic, you know, wanting to play and wanting to be out on the field and be together and all the things that they want to do that they've not been able to do. So, you know, around that resilience, can you tell us more about that?
Well, I mean, we go back to the process. It's boring, but it works. Like, you know, we lost our first regular season game. The last season we played was 2019, and we had our first regular season loss in 5 years. And then we followed it up with a tie, which we had never, that never happened. And we had a really young team, and obviously I didn't sleep much, and there was a lot of stuff going on in my head that I didn't share with the girls. But we have to go back to the process. We have to believe in the course that we've laid out as a group. And again, back to our goals and priorities and how we're going to get there. And what are you willing to sacrifice? You know, we hadn't done enough. That's why we had lost. But then we turned around the season at the end of the season and won a championship we probably never should have won. But we did because of the process. And it's, again, it's, you've got to have those, that foundation set. And for us, our foundation is our leadership. That is foundational for everything that we do. It's the same at Ashbury. It's the same with the national teams that I've coached. It's finding the right core of leaders that you can work with and that can really set the tone and drive the team from the front. Because I'm not on the field. I'm not on the front of this. They are. So, yeah, just back to the process, back to the grind every single time, win or lose.
The leadership piece that you've just honed in on, so incredibly important. Can you kind of expand on that, the leadership values that you want to foster or that you're seeking to identify? Tell us a bit more.
Yeah. So, we won a national championship in 2017 because we probably had the most remarkable group of leaders. It was about five women that were just, we're all upper years, so a little bit older and wiser and tremendous athletes. There's a high level of trust amongst them. They really leaned on each other when things got hard. And then it took us a while to get that back after they graduated. And we've put some things in place. You know, we have a shared leadership structure. We're outspoken about it. There's a lot of pieces to what we do, and there's a lot of support. And there's a lot of people involved in the development piece of the leadership. We've got a staff that really steps up and shares. We know we have, you know, we run book clubs and all kinds of opportunities to learn about leadership. And we have evaluation schemes and goal setting. And it's a real process for, again, back to the process. But the leadership piece is what I spend the most amount of time on developing. It's really has become a passion to me, and because you see it exemplified on the field, and it's worked. You know, we're at a place now where we are still quite young, but there were tremendous depth of character and their willingness to learn and work hard to become better leaders will really bode well for us for the fall.
What do you say to athletes that don't make the cut? What's your advice to them?
The end of something means the beginning of something else. Mm-hmm. This isn't for everybody. Sport isn't for everybody. Gigi's women's rugby isn't for everybody. And anyone that's left, maybe not of their own accord, has returned. You know, I've run into them, and they're doing something else that they really enjoy that they never would have found had they continued playing rugby or tried to continue to play rugby. It's hard. It's hard. You know, when you have to make cuts, it's the hardest part of coaching. But it's all about the long term. What's best for them. And they don't see it at the time. It's really hard. I've been cut. Like it's really hard. But in the long run, it is always what's best. But yeah, that's the hardest part of coaching for sure. Is making cuts, releasing kids from your program.
Oh, absolutely. When they're there and they're passionate, they want to play. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I love how you framed it though to remind people it's kind of like this or something else. You know, there's other opportunities out there and to keep going in search of what else. So, okay, rugby, not everybody understands the game. Give us a quick scoop for people that say, yeah, I heard about it. What's, you know, it's a little different from some other sports. Not everybody knows the, you know, the sport. I mean, they know rugby, but if they want to deepen their understanding, what would you tell them?
It's a collision sport. Dance is a contact sport. So it's a collision sport. So we have to be honest about that. Contact. And It's one of the only games that I know of anyway, that the rules are exactly the same. The laws of the game are exactly the same for the men as they are the women. The ball's the same size, the field's the same size, and all the laws are the same. It's one of my favorite things about rugby. Basketball, for example, the women use a smaller ball. Hockey, for example, there's no contact for the women's game. So that's one of my favorite things about rugby. And it's a very continuous game. It's very, it's, you know, when there's a whistle, when there's a tackle in football, there's a whistle. Whereas rugby, that's where the game sort of starts, at the tackle area. So it's very, you have to be fit, strong, fast, and powerful. It's a very, very unique sport. It's, and I think every woman should play it. I just think it's remarkable. It's brought so much to my life.
That's a beautiful descriptor of it. And I know that others, so many women would have loved to have had the chance earlier, I think, to play it. So, you know, in your career, you've done so many interesting things. And, you know, so if we think about others listening, you were at one place, you were at Ashbury College, and then, you know, you moved to your new opportunity. When you think about in that wider sense of moving forward in your career and knowing when to say yes to an opportunity, how did you know for you this is the right next move? Because, you know, there's right now, if we think in terms of pandemic, a lot of people are kind of coming out of it saying, I want to make a change. You know, I'm ready for next, whatever that looks like. But at the same time, there can be some fear around, you know, making that change, going into the unknown, or, you know, the uncertain, if you will. So can you give some insight into, you know, your approach?
I'm pretty obsessed with personal growth and growth of those around me, obviously as a teacher and coach. And if you're uncomfortable with something, it means you're growing. So, I mean, the expression growing pains exists for a reason. And I was really uncomfortable when the offer was, you know, put on the table for me to leave Ashbury. I loved being a teacher. I loved the school. I loved the students. I loved everything about it. But I was ready for a new challenge. I didn't really recognize it at the time that I had maybe outgrown where I was and where I needed to be. And I was just really uncomfortable. And then you realize that's when the growth is happening. And maybe that ties into being fearless, right? You just have to go with both feet in and not look back. You know, I try to never look back. I try to just look forward all the time. And I just have just no regrets. It was the best decision I ever made, really, was to kind of follow my dream. I never thought it would be a reality, being a full-time rugby coach of a woman's team in Canada and me being a woman myself. I'd actually never dreamt it because I never saw it. I just didn't think it was a reality. And this whole, you know, you cannot be what you cannot see piece is so important. And so, yeah, but yeah, growing pains. Like if you're uncomfortable, it means you're growing. So you gotta just kind of ride it out. So yeah, you know, this pandemic, I think, will have shown a lot of people the value of family, the value of how short life can be. And things are so unexpected and you can't wait for something. You have to go get it yourself. Otherwise, you know, I would say the worst feeling in the world would be regret. You know, you don't want to be 90 and regret some of the decisions that you made. You have to go for it for sure. You got to go for it. And you'll be uncomfortable, but again, that's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Absolutely. I loved your reference around growing pains. I think that is such a helpful way of framing it. Tell me this, Coach, are you still, because you were the first full-time female rugby head coach in Canada, are you still the only, or have others seen the wisdom?
So there aren't a lot of coaching opportunities in Canada that are full-time. I think I'm still the only full-time because in terms of it, you know, there's a lot of female head coaches in Canada. There's tons and we all know each other, but in terms of a career, I think I'm still the only one in Canada. There's a few, obviously, all over the world in some of these kind of nations where rugby is a little bit more popular, but yeah, I believe I'm still the only one.
So do you think of yourself as a trailblazer?
I don't, but I do think I like being first at things and not just like winning or whatever, but I do. An athlete of mine made a comment around like, do you just like being first at something? And I was like, oh, I'd never thought of it that way. And I didn't think of it that way. I'm not conscious that I'm a woman when I make these decisions. I'm just conscious that I want to follow whatever my path is. So, but I'm okay if you know, people think I'm a trailblazer. I mean, there's worse things to be, right?
And you are, so might as well
Thank
accept
you.
It.
Thank you.
What's a fun fact about you?
I am an avid golfer and gardener. Like I'm the constant gardener. Just they're two passions of mine. So when I'm not coaching, I'm on the golf course and I'm gardening. My winters are pretty quiet. There's not much rugby and there's not much anything else. But yeah, I think that surprises people. Maybe not the golf because I'm pretty obsessive and that's the kind of game it is. But the gardening surprises people.
Super relaxing. Is that like what?
I kind of zone out and it helped me through a very difficult time when there was a loss of someone that was quite close to me. She was a student at Ashbury College and I started gardening to sort of process what had happened. And then every year since my gardens have grown and she's always on my mind when I'm gardening and it's just a way of remembering her. So that's why I started. And it's been really therapeutic for me during difficult times.
And it's always there for you. You know, you can turn to it. It's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
So much we can talk about and maybe we'll just touch on mental health and women in sport and, you know, being able to thrive in sport and the value of it. Anything you want to mention in that regard?
It's really important to talk about stuff. You know, if you're not doing okay, it's really important to reach out, ask for help. Vulnerability is strength. And if you're in a position of leadership, I think it ties in this empathy piece, right? This empathetic listening. It's really important to listen to people because you never know. Everybody has a story. Everybody's going through something. And I think I learned a lot through COVID, you know, a lot more time to just self-assess, self-reflect, you become more self-aware. There's just been time has been permitted to us. And I hope that it hasn't gone to waste, that we've learned things, we've learned what's important. And other people are important. And I hope this opportunity didn't go to waste because that's what I think was this global pandemic was an opportunity to make the world a better place because we were not going in a very good direction.
So final question, what is your dream for girls in sport, Coach Jen Boyd?
Yeah, that's a really good question, you know, because I am a dreamer. For sure. And I seriously want girls in sport to be taken as seriously as the boys are. That's what I want because they're not. And I don't understand why they're not. I think there's a shift. I think that's just part of what the world being on pause was part of the reason why is to kind of create an equilibrium amongst the genders for was one aspect of it, of course, but yeah, I want the girls to be taken as seriously as the boys. That's what I want. That's my dream for girls in sport.
It's a beautiful dream. And you certainly are working very hard to make that dream come true. And in the ways that you are bringing together women in this such an exciting sport and showing them how to win. Well, you rarely ever lose. So really to win with grace, to continue to win with grace. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. You've been listening to the remarkable Coach Jen Boyd. She is the head coach and the Canadian National Championship winner and award-winning coach of the GGs, the women's rugby team. Thank you so much for joining me today on the Fearless Women podcast.
Thanks for having me. It was great.
Thanks for listening. We want our community to grow. Tell your friends, follow us on Instagram, and sign up for our newsletter at fearlesswomenpodcast.com to get the early scoop. Thanks again to our amazing sponsors, BDC, Lockheed Martin, and Export Development Canada. Subscribe in Apple Podcasts or in your favorite app. And if you like what you hear, give us a 5-star rating. I'm Janice McDonald. Stay fearless. Thank you to Export Development Canada, the international risk experts, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast. Supporting Canadian companies of all sizes succeed on the world stage, EDC takes your worries away and helps you grow your business with confidence. When your business has no borders, neither does your potential. Find out more at edc.ca/womenintrade. Thank you to BDC, the bank devoted exclusively to entrepreneurs, for your support of the Fearless Women podcast.
We love smart companies that want to amplify women's voices. For more information, go to bdc.ca/women.